The very last daf in the 8th parak of Maseches Becharos, and then Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we start the last parak of Maseches Becharos. We are holding on daf Nun Aleph and Be'ez at the Mishnah at the bottom. So we've been discussing Bechar Adam. We've discussed all the things that make a Bechar Adam puzzle and the various halachos of Pidyon Aben, and now we move on to halachos of Yerusha that a Bechar gets. So says the Mishnah, HaBechar Notel Pishnayim B'Nichsei Ha'av. So number one, and by the way, this mission appears in Maseches Babasra, obviously because in Babasra is where we really have the halachos of Yerusha. That's where the 8th paragraph of Babasra is, Yesh Nochelin. But anyway, so the mission over here, it discusses it because it's about Bechor. So Bechor takes Pishnayim, he gets a double portion in the father's Yerusha, but he does not get a double portion in Yerusha that's inherited from the mother, only from the father. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out why that's the case, where we know that from, that it's Dafka b'nichsei av and not b'nichsei ha'im. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, ve'enu notel b'shevach, the pishnayim b'shevach. The bechor does not get a double portion in shevach. What's shevach? Says Rashi, imishbichu nechasim la'achar misas ha'av, kodem shechilku. Let's say the father dies, and then some of the properties of the father go up in value. So before they actually divide the estate, the properties have gone up in value. So ena bechor notel pishnayim b'shevach. The bechor does not get a double portion of the increased value of the property since the death of the father. Ella, instead, what do? Shamanas hanchasim mashayu shavin b'shas misas avihen. We evaluate what the properties were worth when the father died. Va'bechor shenotel beis chalakim b'karkos yitein ma'os l'fisha shava shevach chelak hasheni shenotel b'shvila bechora. And the bechor compensates for whatever he gets twice as much property, and he compensates for the difference of the shevach. Va'osan ma'os yachluku ben kulam. And that extra money that it's gone up since the father died, they divide that money evenly. So he's going to take a double portion of the actual property, but they try to figure out what the shevach was. The Bechor pays that entire shevach, and then they divide all of that evenly amongst themselves. So that's the idea, that a Bechor only gets what the property was worth at the time the father died, but not the shevach that the property increased in value after the father died. And also, v'lo b'ra'i k'bu muchzak. The Bechor does not get pishnayim of ra'ui, only of that which is muchzak. What does that mean? So Rashi says, b'nechasim shlo hayavien muchzak b'shas misaso, av ru'uyin hayu lipo lo b'yerusha. Let's say, or notel behen pishnayim. If you have property that the father was not yet in possession of at the time that he died, but it was coming to him, it was something that was Yerusha that was on its way, that was going to land in his portfolio, but he had not yet taken possession of it. A bechor does not get pishnayim of that. Only on that which the father already had, the bechor gets pishnayim. Veloa isha b'ksubasa, and also not a woman in her ksuba. Rashi explains, lo b'shevach sheshbichu im einam shavin hanachasim b'shas misas baila k'dei shir ksuba v'achar kach sheshbichu. A woman doesn't take for her ksuba payment also the shevach, just like a bechor doesn't take pishnayim in shevach. So any shevach of the nechasim of the husband after the husband dies, the nechasim goes up in value. She only takes what they were worth at the time of death. She does not get to, it's not meshuba to her that which it went up in value after the husband died. Only that which was already the value that the husband already had while he was alive is meshuba to her ksuba. And similarly, v'lo abanos b'mezonos sehen, the daughters in their mezonos also don't get the shevach. Now, what's the daughters in their mezonos? So again, Rashi explains, shayu makabelo lov lozun hasbita, shayu lamisha acher. We're talking about a situation where a man marries a woman who already has a daughter or daughters from previous marriages, and the new husband is makabel to support those daughters. So acher chameshanim einu nizonas. Let's say after 5 years, he says, I'm going to support your daughters. Seinu nizonas lacher misaso elthi masha nechas. So after this man, this new husband dies, and his estate now still owes the daughter support for a couple of more years, they can only get that support from the value that was already in the estate estate at the time that the husband died. Any shevach in the estate after the man dies does not go, is not meshubad to the banos, only to the woman's daughters. Only that which the state was already worth is meshubad to the woman's daughters. Velo hayavam, and the same is true. Someone takes, Rashi again explains, as a person takes pishnayim, his own chelek, and the chelek of the deceased brother, because he was miyabim, the brother's wife. I mean, he had several brothers, one of them died, so another brother was miyabim, the wife of the deceased brother, so he not only gets his own portion of Yerusha, he takes his brother's portion of Yerusha as well, but he doesn't get to take b'shevach k'barowi, he doesn't get to take, in the yavam's portion of the Yerusha, he doesn't get to take any shevach that was incurred afterwards. In all of these cases, the woman in the ksuba, the banos and the mezonos, the yavam, all of them do not get to take shevach, nor do they get to take beroik or b'muchzak. They only get to take that which was already in the estate, not that which was coming to the estate. The Gemara is obviously going to deal with why we have to mention this again. We just said v'lo b'shevach v'lo b'roik v'muchzuk, and we then listed all these things. So obviously, we know what these halachos are, that they're not allowed to take b'shevach, not allowed to take b'roik v'muchzuk. But anyway, that is the that's how the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah repeats this halacha. Now v'lo asayavam, Rashi writes that the yavam takes pishnayim, his own chelek and the chelek of the mace whose wife he was miyabim, and on that chelek he doesn't get shevach and he doesn't get ra'ui, he only gets that which is muhsak, which means to say, when he and his brothers come to be yorish their father's estate, the yavam takes his chelek and his deceased brother's chelek like a regular din of bechor. And that's what Rashi writes in Yavamos as well, that just like a bechor does not take a bechora in nichsei aviv from ra'ui, only that which is muhsak b'yad aviyam on the day that the father died, so to a yavam only takes pishtayim b'nichsei aviyam, meaning the yavam is also getting pishtayim because he's getting his own portion and his deceased brother's portion, but also only in muhsak, not in ra'ui. The Rishonim write, though, that it's muchach from Rashi, that if, let's say, the father dies after the brother dies, then what we see from Rashi is that the Yavam gets Pishnayim, that the Yavam will get a double portion of the father's estate. I mean, one would not have thought this. One would have assumed that if the brother dies first, then the father dies. Let's say there were four sons, four brothers. One of them dies, then the father dies. One would have assumed you split the Yerusha amongst three brothers. But Rashi's telling us, no, you split the Yerusha amongst four brothers, and the one that did the Yibum gets the father's Yerusha. I mean, we know of the halacha that a guy who does Yibum is Yoresh, the Yavam's property. That's the property that the Yavam already had. Now we're talking about property that the Yavam didn't have yet, that he's destined to Yarshin from his father. That even that, it sounds from Rashi, the one who does Yibum is going to be Yoresh. A lot of the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, that the din of Yerusha Seyavim is only b'nichsei achiv ha-meis. When you're miyabim his wife, you get his possessions. But b'nichsei ha'av, the father's possessions, you don't get that over any of the other brothers. And when the father dies after the Yavam dies, after the brother dies, it's considered ra'ui in comparison to the Yerusha Yavam b'nichsei achiv. So the Yavam, and the Yavam's not Yoresh ra'ui k'b'muchzak. So why should he get that property? In fact, the Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all have a very strong raya from a Gemara in Maseches Yavamos. The Gemara in Yavamos and Daf Mem asks the question, Ima b'chor notol pishnayim la'achar misas ha'av, af hay notol pishnayim la'achar misas ha'av? The Gemara says, well, if a b'chor gets pishnayim after the father dies, shouldn't the yavam also get pishnayim after the father dies? And the Gemara says, no, midi yakum al shem aviv ksiv, Yaakov al Shem Achiv Ksiv. It doesn't say that he takes over the name of his father. It says he takes over the name of his brother. So it's got nothing to do with the Yerusha that he gets from his father. That he's not going to get Pishnayim just because he did Yibum. Only Yerusha that he gets directly from his brother. So it's really an Afna Gemara against Rashi, which the Rishonim point out, therefore they believe that Rashi is incorrect, that it's Mefurish in the Gemara, that a Yavam does not get Pishnayim B'nichsei Aviv. I saw in the footnote in the Bir Yadav, he says in the Bir Agra in Evan Ezer, Kuf Samach Gimel, Sivkat and Dalid, he tries to be Miyashiv Rashi. I didn't have a chance to look it up and see how he's Miyashiv Rashi, but apparently they try to be Miyashiv Rashi. That's the major kasha on Rashi. Okay, so says the Gemara, my taima, what is the reason for the first halacha in the Mishnah? The first halacha in the Mishnah was that a bechor gets pishnayim in the father, in Yerusha from the father, but not in Yerusha from the mother. Any Yerusha from the mother gets split evenly amongst the children. So Amar Krav, because the pasuk says, v'lo mishpat habechora. We darshan to him is the mishpat habechora. Mishpat habechora le'ish, ve'in mishpat habechora le'isha. That mishpat habechora applies to a man, but mishpat habechora does not apply to a woman, meaning that we assume the word velo is talking about the morish, not the yoresh, that the person whose possessions mishpat habechora is going to apply to is a male who is morish to his children, but a female who's moreshes to her children, there is no din of mishpat habechora. That's how Rashi says mashma da'adidei kai kolomer b'nechasav mishpat habechora velo b'nichsei ishto. Only in his possessions there is mishpat. There is no mishpat habechora in nichsei ishto, in her possessions. Now it happens to me, the Gemara in Maseches Babashan, Daf Kufir Alfan Beis, has a three-way machlokes how we know this din. The Gemara doesn't just say this singular drasha. The Gemara says that Abaye's shita is from the pasuk b'kol asher yimatzei lo, and we darshan lo v'lo la, but not the same pasuk we're using over here. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak learns reishis ono, ono v'lo ona, that is only reishis ono that gets a double portion, but not Rashi's ona, not her bechor, only his bechor. And then the Gemara in the Maskanis says Shitas Rava is that we learn from Velo Mishpat HaBechorah, the drasha that we quote over here. So Mir al-Ghazi says that even though Kol HaTorah Kula, everything is said B'lashon Zachar, so what kind of raya is this? What kind of drasha is this? The whole Torah is written B'lashon Zachar. You look through the parshios that discuss Kashrus and Shabbos, it's all B'lashon Zachar. It's all, the whole Torah is written B'lashon Zachar, and yet women are chayiv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah also, except for the ones that we know that they're not chayiv in, except for the exceptions. But just because something's b'lashon zachar, very difficult to say that by definition a woman is going to be excluded because it's b'lashon zachar. So the Merit Al Ghazi says, yeah, but over here it says ish. So it says kitiyena le'ish. Whenever it says ish, that dafka is Tosfos says in a couple of places in Shas also. And whenever it says ish, that's dafka to exclude a woman. Stam Lashon Zachar doesn't exclude a woman. The Rambam in the Rambam in Hilchas Nachlos, Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, quotes this din that a bechor does not get pishnayim b'nichsei ha'im, and the Magen Mishnah says that it's mefurish in the Gemara of Basra, and it's learned out from the pasuk b'kol asher yimatzei lo, and we dash in lo v'lo la. So the Chmishnah just points out, why would he pick Shitas Abaye? Of all the three opinions as to where we know this din from, and especially we have our Gemara in Bechoris Daf Nun Beis, which just assumes Shitas Rava, where we know this din from, of all the drushas to bring, why does the Magen Mishnah choose to bring the drusha that Abaye brings? So the Lachem Mishnah tries to suggest that the Magen Mishnah understood that the Rambam understood the Gemara in Bava Basra, that you need all three drushas somehow to teach this din, that there's some major tzrichasa, that all three drushas are necessary and all three drushas are true. So it's not that we're rejecting the drusha that Abaye makes and accepting the drusha that Rava makes. All of the drushas in some way or another are actually viable drushas. But either way, we see that there is a clear drusha that there is no pishnayim in the mother's estate, there's only pishnayim in the father's estate. Vaitu in the Gemara, now fifth line on Nun Beis Amid Aleph, ve'enu notel b'shevach, a bechor also does not get pishnayim in shevach, in whatever improvements, whatever increase in value the property had after the death of the father, because it says that which is yimatzelo, meaning that which he already had b'shas misa, that which the father already was in possession of at the time that he died. V'lo b'roi k'b'muchzak. How do I know that a bechor doesn't get pishnayim of that which is coming to the father, but the father did not yet have? D'chsiv b'chol asher yimatzelo, that which the father had. It has to be that which he had already, and not that which he did not yet have. So all of that is from b'chol asher yimatzelo. Now v'lo isha b'ksubasa, how do I know a woman does not get collect her ksuba from Shevach or from Ra'oi? She only collects her ksuba from that which was muchzak in the nechasim of her husband. So not how do I know, but the Mishnah says that that's true, that she does not get Shevach or ra'ui is not meshubatur ksuba. So frankly, mara eini v'amar Shmuel balchov goves hashevach. But the halach is that a balchov does collect shevach, and a woman's ksuba after all is just a fancy balchov. There's a contract that says that he owes her X amount of money should he die or should they get divorced. So that's just a contract. It's a balchov. So if a balchov is able to get shevach, let's say a balchov is owed $1,000. A man dies and his property is worth $500 at the time of death, but then it goes up in value, now it's worth $1,000. So the balchov is allowed to collect the $1,000 worth of property, even though it went up. He's allowed to collect shevach. Why should the woman be any different? Yeah, this is one of the kulas of ksuba. This is one of the things that what does it mean, a kula of ksuba? It means we do not give her the same rights we would give a balchov. The Rishonim explained that there's a logic to this, that we're not going to give her the same rights we would give a balchov. We want to give someone who lends money to somebody else a lot of rights, because in general, we find throughout Shas that the Chazal were very careful and very nervous that people would not want to lend money to other people. So we want to make it as easy as possible to collect on loans that are made, so they make rules that are very loaner friendly. So that's one of the rules, is that you get to collect shevach. When it comes to ksubas isha, she's not lending money to anybody. She's not doing him any major favors by allowing ksuba to be written. Adrabah, we have a chazaka that tav lemesav tandu mi lemesav armila, that the woman is very interested and eager to get married, that she would rather be married to somebody who maybe is even beneath her stature, just to be married, because she doesn't want to be alone. She wants to be married. So there's no need to make special takanos to encourage her to get married and have a ksuba. It's not necessary, and therefore they did not make such a din that she's allowed to be gova the shevach or the ra'ui. Whereas a balchov, they made such a din that he could be gova the shevach, that he's able to collect even from the shevach, from the improvement in the property after the death of the person. When we say that he can't take the shevach, that the Bechor doesn't take the Shavach, because the Pasuk says, B'kol asher yimatzei lo. So the Yad Ramah, Mesechta Basra, wonders, based on the Gemara in Baba Basra, and Daf Kuf Chav Vav, Amud Aleph, that a Bechor gets a chelek b'nichsei aviv kodem chaluka, meaning that a Bechor is considered to be an owner even before they actually divide the estate. The Bechor is considered to own his double portion, the Gemara indicates. So why would you say that Shavach Nechasim is not something he gets double portion of? It was in his rishus that it was mashbiach, so you would think he should get whatever shevach it is. It was already in his rishus, so how can you be memayit shevach? Because it's not matzui la'aviv. It's not something that the father had. But as soon as the father dies, the bechor owns twice as much as everybody else. Yerusha kicks in automatically, even before the chalukah. So what do I care that they did by the time they got through all the red tape and by the time they figured out who's getting what, they did the chalukah 6 months later. So why should the Bechor lose out based on that? The Gemara in Baba Basra seems to indicate he immediately, upon the death of the father, owns twice as much as the brothers. So the Shevach was Mashbiach while it was in his Rishos. So the Yad Ramah says, what you see is that you have to take a little more of a nuanced view in terms of what his rights of ownership are when the father dies. He says that which the Bechor owns the property before the Chalukah, that means he has certain Zuchuyos in the property. We have such a concept, that there's such a thing as Bailus L'chatzayin, that you have Bailus regarding certain things, but not regarding everything. We only say that he has a Zuchus that he's able to sell, he's able to give it as a matana, but he's not zocha a zechiya gemura until after the chalukah. Mm-hmm. And therefore, any shevach he's not zocha in. It's not, we don't say it was berushu so that it was mashbiach. Any shevach he's not zocha. Now the Rif seems to understand that he has an absolute zechiya gemura b'nichsei av even before the chalukah. So the Yad Ramah says the Rif is very challenging. This is very challenging then, according to the Rif. What do you mean b'kol asher yimatzei lo? Why should it only be what the father had? As soon as the father dies, the bechor gets it, and whatever it's mashbiach should belong to the bechor. So you have to say that the Yad Ramah says, you have to say that it's a partial ownership. His rights are really only a partial ownership of the property. you have such a thing. We have kinyan peros, whole machlok, so the kinyan peros, kinyan aguf, but you could sell someone the peros of this tree. They don't own the tree, but they own the tree vis-a-vis its peros. You have such a concept of a partial ownership of something. Okay, v'lo abanos b'mizonos sehen. So he said the daughters also do not get to collect their mizonos, meaning not the daughters of the man who died, the daughters of his wife, of the stepdaughters of the man who died, when he had committed to support them, they cannot collect that support from Ra'oi, nor can they collect that support from Shevach. So my taima, why is it that they can't collect it? Because tonight k'suba, k'suba dami. We just said a woman can't collect her k'suba from Ra'oi or Shevach. This is what we call a tonight k'suba. So a tonight k'suba has the same din as a k'suba. V'lo ayavam, we also said when a yavam gets his brother's estate, he doesn't get the Ra'oi and he doesn't get the Shevach. He only gets the estate itself. So my taima, b'char kar yirachmanu, because the Torah calls him a b'char. So it should have the same status as a regular Bukhar. And a Bukhar doesn't get Roy and he doesn't get Shevach. So Amar Abaye Loshna El B'Shevach Sheshivchu Nechasim Bein Misa Li'ibu. That's only the Shevach that the Nechasim had the improvements in the Nechasim after the death, before the Yibum. Aval deBein Yibum LeChalukah Shakil. But after the Yibum, before the Chalukah, that he certainly gets that Shevach. My taima, why should that be the case? Yakum al shem achiv hamesa marachmana varekam, because it says he takes the place of his brother. So once he actually took his place and he did the yibum, so now it's completely his, and whatever shevach happens in those properties is entirely his. Rava amarafil ben yibum lachaluka nami lo shakel. Rava says no, even shevach that happens after yibum, before they actually divide it up, he also wouldn't take. My taima kibuchar ma buchar ein lo kodem chaluka af yavam nami ein lo kodem chaluka, because he's treated 100% like a Bechor. You don't say, no, Vahare come, he's already in his brother's place, so we pretend he is his brother. No, we say that he's treated like a Bechor. The fact that he gets his brother's portion in addition to his own portion is the same way a Bechor gets a double portion, which is only from Chalukah and on. Doesn't happen with anything that's Kodem Chalukah. Any Shevach that's Kodem Chalukah does not belong to him. Obviously, once they're Cholek the estate, and let's say a Bechor, in a typical case, they divide the estate and the Bechor gets the house in the Hamptons, and the house in the Hamptons goes up and is worth three times as much. So obviously, fine. After he got it, it's his, and it goes up, it's going to be his. After the Chalukah, it's Dabar Pashut. Question is the Kodem Chalukah. So the Kodem Chalukah, the Bechor doesn't get, and therefore, neither does the Yavam. So says the Gemara, so the Mishnah had said that none of these people, the Banos, the Ksuba, none of them, the Yavam, none of them get the Shevach. So what we already said that at the beginning of the Mishnah. What are we adding over here? This means to say, even Shevach that happens automatically, we're not talking about improvements that were made, unusual events that occurred, just natural progression, natural things that occur, such as Chafura Vahavushuvli. You have these little shoots that turned into full-blown ears of corn. They weren't developed yet, but that's the way it works. Things grow. They start off as little, and they grow into fully developed produce. Shalfufi vavi tamri. You have these little buds of dates, and they turn into actual dates. They turn into real. So that's shivcha de memela. Even that shevach, he doesn't get pishnayim in, and the banos and the ksuba and the yavam doesn't get. V'lo b'roi k'b'muchsak. What's that adding? We already said that at the beginning as well. So lasui nichse daviyab. That comes to include that even the grandfather's estate, he doesn't get pishnayim in. You might think that the grandfather's estate, he would get pishnayim, because that's really coming to him. Meaning, Roy Kibbutzak, we would say, yeah, because who knows if it's ever really going to, yeah, it's owed to him, it's something that should be coming to him. You never know where it's going to end up, but the grandfather's estate is going to go to his children. So you know this is really coming to him. One might have thought that that would be that would have a different status. Fine. New Mishnah. Last Mishnah in the Perek. So says the Mishnah, Ve'elu she'im chozun b'yovel. The following things do not get returned at Yovel. Meaning that we know that there was must have been complete chaos. Every time a Yovel happened, every transaction, every property that was bought in all of Eretz Yisrael, it went back to the original family that owned it, and every Eved went free. Everything was, everything was going, was changing hands. But the following things are not Chozer B'Yovel. First of all, HaBechorah. If someone gets Pishnayim of the Bechorah, he doesn't have to take that second portion that he got and return it to the other brothers at Yovel. Vayorish HaSishtov, someone Yarshin his wife. He doesn't have to take the Yerusha that he got from his wife and return it to her family. Someone who does Yibum doesn't have to take the Yerusha that he got from his brother that he did Yibum on that brother's wife and return it to the rest of the brothers. Vamatana, someone gives you a gift. If someone gifts you a field, you don't have to return that a Yovel either. Divra Meir, that's all Rabbi Meir Shita. The Chum say, I agree with everything you said, except for Matana. Matana is Kemecher. Matana is viewed like a sale. If someone gifts you a field, Yovel comes, you have to return. You have to return that field. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kulam Chozun B'Yovel. Unbelievable. Rabbi Lazar says, you think Yovel's chaotic according to the Tanakhama. According to the Rabbi Lazar, Yovel's absolutely, it's unbelievable. Everything goes back at Yovel. All the Yerushas get redivided. Everything goes back at Yovel. Rabbi Yochum and Broka Omer, Hayorish Hesishto Yachzi L'Bnei Mishpacha V'Yinakam Ehen Hasadam. He says, look, if you Yarshin your wife, so you have to return what you Yarshin from your wife to the Bnei Mishpacha, but they have to pay you for it. Very unusual. Normally by Yovel, it just goes back. There's no payment. That which you got goes back at Yovel. Over here we're saying, no, you're Yashin, your wife, so you have to return that Yerusha, but you're going to get compensated for it. So the Gemara will explain exactly why that should be the case, because Mimanavshach, if it's Chozer at Yovel, there should be no payment. If there's payment, there shouldn't have to be Chozer at Yovel. So the Gemara will explain that. Says the Gemara, my time up. My time is Rameir. Why does Rameir hold that all of these things are not Chozer B'Yovel? So, Mecher Huda Am Rachman Alihad B'Yovel, Matan of Yerushalo, because the Pasuk says that Mecher goes back at Yovel, a sale goes back at Yovel, but Matan and Yerusha are not go back at Yovel. Vahani, the Yerusha, Yerusha. The matana, matana. So he says that which is Yerusha is Yerusha. That which is matana is matana. And Yerusha and matana don't go back at Yovel. Meaning, what did Rav Meir say doesn't go back at Yovel? The bechora, yorish hashishto, miyav mishishach, and matana. So Yerusha is Yerusha, matana is matana. Neither of those are a mecher. Bechor, what about Bechor? Laseis lo pishnayim. Matana kari rachmana. Bechor, I would have put Bechor in Yerusha. I would have said that it's like Yerusha, so it doesn't go back. He says, no. Bechor is matana, because it says laseis lo pishnayim. And therefore, it has a din of a matana, so it doesn't go back at Yovel. Okay. Vayorish hasishto, and someone who yarshins his wife, also, Rav Meir had on the list of things that do not go back at Yovel. Why? Yerushas habaldo reisa. Because the fact that a husband yarshins his wife, that's a real din of Yerusha. Meaning, if it's a real din to reisa of Yerusha, you understand it's not going to go back at Yovel, because like Rav Meir darshined, Yerusha, only Mecher goes back at Yovel, not Yerusha. If it were only Dirabbanan, some would say maybe it has more of a din of a sale, it has more of a din of a matana or something. Well, matana wouldn't go back at Yovel either, but because Yerusha Sabal Doraisa, so that's why it's a non-starter. That's why, according to Rameir, it's very pashut that it's not going to go back at Yovel. Rameir also had on his list of things that do not go back at Yovel that which you get your brother's Yerusha if you're Miyabim his wife. So why? Bechor kari rachmana, because the same as Bechor. And Bechor, we said, has a din of Matana. And Matana, we said, doesn't go back at Yovel, according to Rabbi Meir. So, my nafkamina, whether it's called a Matana, or whether it's called a Yerusha, because remember, the Chacham said that a Yerusha doesn't go back, but Matana does go back, that a Matana is like a Mecher. So we need to know how everything is categorized to know what would the Chachamim say. The Chachamim hold that anything that's called a Matana would go back. But it's interesting, the Chachamim only argued on Rameir about Matana. They didn't argue about these other things, meaning we said that according to Rabbi Meir, Pishnayim of Bechor has a din of Matana. So the Chacham who say that Matana goes back at Yovel, L'chora should say Pishnaim go back at Yovel as well. So let's see, V'chom or Matana k'mecher, Maitar Maitar Rabbanan. Why do the Rabbanan think that Matana is like a mecher? Tashuvul Rabbi says a Matana. First of all, even though you're right, the Torah only says that mecher goes back at Yovel, but since it uses an extra word, Tashuvu, implying that more than just one thing goes back, that's the Rabbi says a Matana, that a Matana also goes back at Yovel. V'hani kulu Yerush. And why did the Rabbanan only disagree about Matana? Why don't they disagree about the Pishnayim and about everything else that's mentioned that Reb Meir holds doesn't go back at Yovel? Yorishes Ishto, Miyabim Eishes Achiv. So the Chacham hold all of those things are Yerusha. They're not Matana. If they were Matana in Achinami, they would go back at Yovel. So the Chacham disagree with how to label things. They disagree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir labeled some of these things as Matana, some as Yerusha, and it didn't make a difference to Rabbi Meir because he held neither Matana nor Yerusha goes back at Yovel. But since the Chacham hold Matana does go back at Yovel, they had to be very careful how they label everything. So they label everything in the Mishnah except for Matana as Yerusha. Bechor Amar Kra Laseis Lo Pishnayim. How do I know Bechor is Yerusha? Because the pasuk says Laseis Lo Pishnayim Makish Chelik Bechor LeChelik Pashut. When we say Pishnayim, we seem to be assuming that the second Chelik is the same as the first Chelik that he gets. So Machelik Pashut Yerusha, Chelik Bechor Yerusha. Just like the Chelik Pashut that the Bechor gets is obviously Yerusha, the Chelik Bechor that the Bechor gets is also Yerusha. So it has a full din of Yerusha. Rabbi Lazar Amar Kulam Chozrim Biyovel, and Rabbi Lazar says all these things go back at Yovel. So why do they all go back at Yovel? So Savulak Rabbanan Darmi Tashuvul Rabbis Matana. In terms of what the rule is, he agrees with the Rabbanan's rule. Meaning Rabbi Meir's rule was only Mecher goes back at Yovel, Yerusha Matana does not. Now let's label everything in the Mishnah as either Yerusha Matana. The Chamel, the rule is both Mecher and Matana go back at Yovel. Yerusha doesn't go back at Yovel. Now let's label everything in the Mishnah as Yerusha so it won't go back at Yovel. Rabbi Eliezer holds everything goes back at Yovel because he holds that the Rabbanan's rule is correct, but he doesn't hold of the way they labeled things. He holds that both Yerusha and Matana go back at, that both Mecher and Matana go back at Yovel, and everything in the Mishnah, every Yerusha, every Yavam b'nichsei Achiv, the Yorish Ishto, all of those are called a matana. They're not called something other than matana. Vahani kulu matana ninu. They're all called matana. Bechor laseislo pishnayim. Matana kari rachmana. Bechor it says laseislo pishnayim. So instead of darshaning pishnayim that the chelik bechor is like the chelik pashtu and therefore labeling it as Yerusha, Rabbi Lazar says no. Emphasize the laseis that it's called a matana and a matana goes back a yovel. Vayorish esishto Yerushas habal derabanan. Yorish es Ishto, he says that's also a matana because midar raisa, there is no such thing as Yerusha habal. A husband will not yarshin his wife midar raisa, so you can't view that as a Yerusha. So what do you view it as? You view it as a matana. Fract the Ola Shlomo, he says in Mesech Zerichim, so what Yerusha habal is Rabbanan? Generally speaking, we say, kol d'tikun Rabbanan, ken daraisa tikunim. So if the Rabbanan say that this is a Yerusha, it should follow the rules of Yerusha daraisa. And the halacha is that Yerusha daraisa is not Chozer B'Yovel. Only Mecher's Chozer B'Yovel, and according to the Blazer, Matana's Chozer B'Yovel. But if this is a Yerusha Midrabanan, we should say it follows all the same dinim as a Yerusha Doraisa, which is not Chozer B'Yovel. So he says from here you could see that Hefker must be Chozer B'Yovel. Let's say I'm Zochin something from Hefker. Someone completely left a field, completely Hefker, and I go and I take it. So that is Chozer B'Yovel. Why? How do you see that from here? What right do the Rabbanan have to determine that the husband becomes the owner of property that the Torah never authorized him to take? This is the right of the Rabbanan to say Hefker Bezin Hefker, that they're making it Hefker. So what you see from here is that yes, even though called Tikkun Rabbanan Ken Daraisa Tiknum, that's when they have the ability to do so. But when their whole mechanism of allowing the transaction to take place is Hefker Bezin Hefker, it then has to follow the rules of Hefker. And the halacha by Hefker is, says the Ola Shlomo, the halacha by Hefker is that it is Chozer B'Yovel. So that's why the Yerusha Sabal is going to be Chozer B'Yovel. Yovel, according to Rabbi Lazar. Vamiyavim as vaitun gemar vamiyavim as eishes achiv. Why, when a person does Yibum, does that extra Yerusha that he gets go back at Yovel? Because the Torah calls him a Bechor, and just like the Pishnaim of a Bechor, Rabbi Lezer understood, is considered a Matana, so too this is also considered a Matana. Fine, period. That's the Machlokas, the three-way Machlokas. In our Mishnah, the Svara for each Shita. So essentially, when you're analyzing that three Machlokas, you have to look at two things. You have to look at what the rule is, what goes back Yovel, what doesn't, and there are only two possibilities. Either Mecher alone goes back at Yovel, or both Mecher and Matana goes back at Yovel. So that's not such a wide-ranging Machlokas, but the more fundamental, the other point that you have to look at, which the Gemara carefully looks at, is what's called Matana. And what's not called Matana? Yerusha definitely doesn't go back at Yovel. But what's called Matana? What would you label as Matana? So those are the two factors that lead to the three-way Machlokas in our Mishnah. Fine. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achin shechalku l'kuchos ein. If you have brothers, I didn't realize how late it is. If you have brothers that divide an estate, they're considered l'kuchos machzirin zel l'zeh b'yovel, and they therefore have to return the estate at Yovel. Meaning it's considered that they purchased it from each other, their portions in the estate. So most of Rav Hoshia, ve'ilu she'in chosin b'yovel, ha'bechora, but didn't our Mishnah say that bechora does not go back at Yovel? Amar Rabbi Lazar, ma'in chosin, ein chosin levata. No, in chosin means that it doesn't go back to be mevatel the fact that he's going to get pishnayim. He'll still get pishnayim. It's just that which field he takes as his pishnayim has to be redivided at Yovel, but he's still going to get it. So then the shita that holds that it's choser means that the bechor is going to lose the whole pishnayim entirely. So he said, yeah, you need to have a little bit of analysis with your knowledge of brises. That's in fact what we learned. That's our Mesora. That when we say it's Chozer, we mean Mamish, that it's Chozer to be Mevatel, the whole Pishnayim. Rabbi Yochanan broke Omar Yorish, Tisho Yachzir. So then the last line in the Mishnah said that if you yorish your wife, you return that which you yashin from her to the B'nai Mishpacha, but you get paid for it. So, frak the Gemara, why does that make any sense? Ma'ika savar, ikasavar yirush sabal dar raisa, amayach to the B'nai Mishpacha. If you hold yirush sabal dar raisa, why would you have to return it to her B'nai Mishpacha? You yashined it. Yovel doesn't affect Yerusha. V'ikasavar yirush sabal dar abanan, damim maya viditayu. And if it's all midra abanan, so then it should have a din of a matana, and it should go back to the family. Why do they have to pay you for anything? She just go back to her family. So the only ksav Yerusha Sabal Dar Raisa. It must be that we assume Yerusha Sabal Dar Raisa. Why are you returning it? Let's say she was morish to her husband a burial plot. This was a family burial plot. It's a bizayin to the mishpacha that it's going to be transferred over to another family. All of their relatives are buried there. So because of that, the rabban made a din. He's got to return it to her family, and he'll get compensated for it. Someone who sold his kever, sold the place of the hesped, or whatever it might be, to help in the burial. So the B'nai Mishpacha, after that person dies, can say, too bad, we're burying him here anyway. And when we say Yinakalem and Adamim, is that what the money that he deducts from that which they pay him back for it is the Dmei Kever Ishto, because he's responsible to bury his wife. So that they don't have to pay him for, but the entire rest of the burial plot they do have to pay him for, not the Kever of his wife itself. Hadron Lachish Bechor, Bezashem, tomorrow we'll start the very last part of the Sadat Bechor.